Hi, everybody. I have here with me tonight, I am interviewing Tim, who has been through the Shift Weight Mastery process. And Tim has a really great story. I think he has a lot of motivational, his story is very motivational. And I'd like for Tim to just share it with everybody just so that we can learn how, one, not just with the Shift Weight Mastery process, but just shifting your thinking about getting healthy and how showing up for yourself can really make a profound effect in your life, your lifestyle, and your health. So welcome, Tim. Thank you so much for coming on and speaking with us tonight.
Oh, you're very welcome.
So, Tim, tell us just the basics. Tell us your name, how much weight you've lost, and how long has it taken you to release the weight?
My name is Tim Castagnola. I shifted in April of 2013, so it took me right at 6 months. I released 66 pounds. And one of the things that I thought was remarkable about the whole thing was 2 pounds a week. It took me exactly to the day.
Wow, isn't that amazing? And that's what you set your goal for, is that correct?
The 2 pounds a week, yes.
Yeah.
I actually changed my weight release goal twice to lower numbers.
Okay. You mean that your ultimate ideal weight number changed?
Correct.
Yeah. Because a lot of times, just to explain to people who maybe haven't gone through the shift process,
mm-hmm.
That typically will set an ideal weight, and then people will pursue it. And with the shift process, and as Tim, I'm sure we'll get into this a little bit, you can really sort of gauge what your weight release will be as per the laws of science, and especially, some people really hone in on that. Others are more focused on other areas. But I know that, Tim, that formula really helped you and worked for you. So maybe please tell us, start at the beginning of when you struggled with weight so we can get a good picture of where you were at when you started doing this work.
I was always the chubby kid, just a little rounder than my friends. It always bugged me a tad.
You weren't greatly influenced at that point, no.
No. But at sometime, I don't know, probably my early 30s, I started off and on with other programs. Weight Watchers and Jenny Craig and the latest internet fad and no carbs, and I did a lot of those things, and I thought I had finally settled on be chubby, be happy.
Right.
but it wasn't really so. And then my wife luckily had started, one time we got into a little spat and I told her about all her little one-line zingers, but what she was trying to do was not harp on me, but just
right.
say that she was concerned about my weight.
Right.
And I took them as jabs occasionally.
Right.
But they weren't meant to be that. And
right. She was trying
she did,
to be supportive, and you were taking it
yes.
more personally. Mm-hmm.
Yes, and but luckily it finally all clicked in at the same time, and I decided that it was really time to do something. But I had already done everything at least once, most of them
right.
twice, and mm-hmm. here I was again.
And Tim, before we get to the shift, what do you feel like was where internally was your bigger struggle? Like I remember when I met you. You said you were able to lose the weight. It wasn't so much about, or you had lost some weight in the past, but what for you do you feel like, where do you feel like it hadn't clicked in yet for you? Like what was the part of it that?
There were there were a number of things. Sometime near, generally, as I was getting towards the goal weight when I tried other programs, I'd have, you know, 2 pieces of pizza.
Mm-hmm.
Well, hey, I didn't gain that. I didn't put any extra pounds on.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe 3 pieces of pizza would be okay, too.
Mm-hmm.
And so, and there was some of that thinking. There was the fact that I never felt there was a good end game that was given in any of those other programs, you know, what to do when you reach whatever that number was.
Right.
But then in addition to that, especially when I was younger, food and the amount you ate was like a badge of manhood.
Mm.
If I could actually sit down and eat an entire numero uno pizza, I was better than the guy sitting across from me who left a piece.
Right. Now, see, that is only something I think men can appreciate, because I don't think women measure like, hey, you ate a whole pizza or I ate a whole pizza. I think the badge of honor is how little you can eat, and that's so interesting. And I think you're right, Tim, and I especially think that this was a huge thing in the 90s and in 2000s, in the 90s before because I noticed this shift in just cultural shift with in the 90s and in the early part of the century, you know, big portions and big, this was before the crash, you know, like the recession, where
right.
I think just pulling in your belt in general became more in vogue. There was this whole, like, go out and eat as much as you can, and the restaurant portions were super huge, and there was just
right.
sort of a culture of gluttony in a way that was, and it was very, you know, oh, let's have the big appetizers and the big dinners and the big drinks and the big. So, yeah, so I get it. That was probably in there, too, with what you were talking about, the marks of manhood, because it was, I remember always on the internet there would be some guy who had eaten a 15-pound hamburger or something in some Texan
right.
restaurant, and he won a prize.
Yeah, and then it gets into your head, into your thinking that, you know, you go to McDonald's, a cheeseburger is going to get you through.
Right.
But instead you order a Big Mac and a cheeseburger with the large fries and the super large Coke.
Right.
Because that's what that's what came to being a meal for me.
Right.
Anything less than that wasn't.
Right. And they make it very easy and very cheap to mm-hmm. do that too.
Right. Right.
So how did you find out about the shift?
I had actually been hypnotized before in the past to quit smoking, like 18
right.
years ago. And so my wife and I were having a civil conversation about my weight loss, where I wasn't offended. It was, like I said, it was never her. But my uncle had gone and seen you for smoking cessation, and
right.
Kay had actually said, my wife, you know,
mm-hmm.
hypnotism worked for you for smoking. What about this? And so I called my uncle and got your number, and then we began.
That's right. I remember that. Okay. And you came in. And so for you, what tell us a little bit about your, not just your pre, like you come in and part of the Shift Weight Mastery process for people who haven't done the shift is you come and meet with me and we test your metabolism. And tell me about that visit. Was that aspect of it eye-opening for you? Or not? I mean, did you have a pretty good gauge on what, you know, your body was burning at that point in your life? Because you're physical by nature. You have a lot. You're very active.
My job has a decent amount of activity to it, but that was it.
Mm-hmm.
as far as my activity in my life.
Right.
Other than that, it was sitting on the couch.
Right. Well, and you were saying that you work, the kind of work that you do is very focused work, like, so, because you work in the motion picture and television industry, so you work on shows where you will work very hard for a very compressed amount of time, and then you might be off. So in your
Correct.
Off time, you did, then didn't move. And then, and
no.
a lot of people listening to this interview, like I said, because I work in Hollywood and is, you know, I have a lot of clients who share that.
Yeah, you know, the 12-hour days are more that we work leave you with very little at the end.
Mm-hmm.
And even if your job consists of really sitting around the set all day, you've still been at work for 13 or 14 hours
right.
by
and
the time
drained.
You get home. And yeah, there's nothing left. There's the concerted effort it would take to, you know, even go into the other room and get on the treadmill is a lot. It
yeah.
takes some real dedication.
Yeah.
So
okay, when
we
you
were talking,
came,
we were talking
oh,
about our initial. Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
We were talking about our initial.
Our initial visit,
right?
And your metabolism. So yeah. So for you, what was that a surprise? Were you expecting your metabolism to be higher or lower? Was that, you know, interesting information for you?
I liked the fact that it was real information. There's thousands of websites and probably thousands of apps on my phone where I could go and they would give me a number.
Mm-hmm.
But they don't know. You know, they're using some matrix that gives a general number, which I found to be the one on the app I used for my the weight loss, the Lose It app. It was 150 calories a day higher.
Right. Yes.
So the number I needed to, you know,
focus
the number
on.
I should have been taking in was lower. So
right.
it takes that whole, it sends it all away. So I was very happy to get a good, real, scientific number. I hadn't a clue what it would be.
Right. And how was the, and having that number, I think, from my standpoint, and why we do that, and why, you know, why would a hypnotist be measuring your metabolism in the first place, I really believe it's very cognitive, because when we have that inner boundary of what we're burning, you know, like you said, we have so many people walk around, when we struggle with our weight, we typically think, I have no metabolism. And
mm-hmm.
so when we really look at our actual energy burn and what it actually takes to release physical weight, you know, I have so many, my clients are incredibly highly functioning people who are very bright and intelligent, but sometimes just because there's so much misinformation out there, they're very confused about what it really takes to release weight, which is a very simple, you know, when you look at it, it's very much like money. You have a budget and your budget is based on reality. You know, we only,
right.
everybody has, you know, makes X amount of money per month, and you base your living on that. But if you overlive your living, then you are go into debt. And when you eat too much, you gain weight. So really, people who, you know, and because we've gone through this recession, you know, people have had to learn to live with less and be happy with less. And they are surprised to find, wow, I can do that. And I believe it's the same when we, you know, when we have reality, which is this is what you burn. And so in order to live life at this lighter weight, at your ideal weight, you know, the whole idea is to adjust your thinking so you aren't deprived, but that you're really living your life within your energy needs to sustain yourself at this ideal weight, which then becomes not so much about taking stuff away, but creating something, and the brain loves to create, and the brain loves
yes.
to figure out puzzles. So, you know, I think that's, you know, when people say, well, why do you measure people's metabolisms? That's what I say. So now between coming to see me, is there something else you wanted to add about that initial visit, Tim?
No, I did leave there very excited. I went off, I downloaded my app, and I made the adjustments according to what we had figured.
Mm-hmm.
And I started that day.
Yeah. So your brain was turned on. You felt engaged.
Very, very much so. Just having even that little piece of real information to start with.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And not to be doing some hocus pocus out of the little glowing box I carry with me and answer the phone with.
And so then what over the, and then you came to the 30-day and the all-day event, and I know you'd done the hypnosis before, so what was your experience of hypnosis for weight release and the alt shift all day? Because I know you ended up coming with your uncle. How was that all-day experience?
I enjoyed the all-day experience. All of the tools that were laid out, once again, I found exciting. And the hypnosis and the cognitive sessions, I thought, took great steps. Each one of them built upon the other, I thought.
Right.
And I left feeling engaged and excited. And the thing, the day left me feeling empowered. Left me, the whole, the rewards, the trials, the responsibility, all of it, and especially then the rewards, was all mine, because I left there with all of the tools to control all of it.
Right. So that's so key, too, which is it's all in you. You are
right.
The one in charge. And I think that's what I love about being a part of this process, is seeing people kind of take back their power from, you know, with all those diets and things, are we give our power away to them rather than going, oh, it's me. I am going to do this, and I am going to be the master of my destiny. Not to say that we're ultimately super in control of our lives. I mean, you know, we all have to live with the chaos of life, but I think that's the exciting thing, is that, you know, when I see people struggle, and I'm sure you see people struggle, Tim, and in our own personal struggles, I know with my personal weight struggle, was that when I dieted, any excuse, you know, anything that happened to me in my life, oh, it's raining today, oh, I had a fight with my husband, oh, it's sunny outside, or, you know, anything was an excuse to go off my diet, you know, because I was on or off something rather than really engaged and it coming from within me. And so that's what I'm hearing, is that you got that. You now have the tools, and you could go and begin your journey to weight mastery. And speaking of weight mastery, oh, go ahead, please.
And the other thing that I really enjoyed about that I got out of the day was that I've always called it the end game. The end game was in place.
Mm-hmm.
There wasn't a whole other section that I had to pay for to learn how to maintain the weight I came to when I released. The basis for everything was given to me that day, and I could have chosen to only release 20 pounds, and I could have ridden happily that 20 pound. And then maintain what I had released there. You know, so much, so much of it was in my control, and it was all there. I had the whole package and all of the tools when I walked out.
Right, which is great. So for those 30 days, so do you feel like the 30-day process itself, as you went through the 30 days and listened to the hypnosis and started to really, you know, live your life within your body's energy needs, what were the, during those 30 days, what do you think were the most helpful tools that you utilized from all that you gleaned from that all day? Like, I know you got into exercise.
Yes. My wife and I started walking. And I had started before the 30 days before the all-day intensive, I had started walking a little. I don't know. Mm-hmm. It was less than a mile. And then
yes, you
my
had
wife
lost weight
and I started
between the office visit and even before the all-day intensive, because you just, like you said, you took that information and went and
I had
got
released,
started.
I think, 8 pounds before the all-day intensive.
Right.
And then, so my wife and I started walking in the evenings, which was very nice. It gave us that time together with no TV or anything. And we slowly grew it from 1 mile to four.
Wow.
And so the 4 miles quickly became part of my budget.
Mm-hmm.
You know, at the weight I was, that was 130 calories or something.
Right.
A mile.
Mm-hmm.
So heck, that was half a meal.
Yeah, that was a lot. That's significant. Absolutely.
Yeah, and it was an hour out of my day, hour and 10 minutes.
Right.
So it was time spent with my wife.
Right. And now, so you engaged in exercise, and how did you do the food? Like, I'm sure people are really curious about what adjustments you made and how did you make that all work for yourself?
There is. As I was thinking about and deciding the food thing, and shortly before I came and visited you, you know, you start running all the scenarios through your head, you know,
mm-hmm.
Oh, my gosh, now I'm going to have to eat raw veggies, which I hate, and I'm not going to be able to eat a potato chip ever again in my life, which I love, and most are gives, you know, as you're mm-hmm. contemplating all this and setting yourself up for failure again. But what I did was, because a calorie is a calorie is a calorie, that's what I went with.
Right.
So I like crunchy, chippy type things with my lunch.
Mm-hmm.
So I found a popcorn chip that gave me 20 chips for 110 calories instead of 6.
Right. Wow.
So I tried to keep all of the tastes and the flavors and the textures that I enjoyed and found better calorie options for them.
That's so smart.
You can find at Target, there is a mini ice cream sandwich. So you get the ice cream and the cool. And and if you don't eat it in a whole bite, in one bite, it's actually very satisfying. And it's only 100 calories.
Oh, wow. That's great.
So
yeah,
I started to look for and find those things.
Mm-hmm. Which is so
smart.
Because
I didn't want to give up what I enjoyed.
Right. Because I think what happens is that when you really do take that, when you take what you love, like you said, your what you would call your taste palate, mm-hmm. and what you were saying, Tim, is you like salty, crunchy, or the cool, sweet, creamy, like ice cream, and you don't say, oh, I'm taking it away, but how can I make that option, that taste, find something in that taste palette that's going to work for me, that's going to be less calories that I'm going to, but I'm going to be able to eat enough to satisfy myself. And so you got really into kind of what I called being a loving scientist. You kind of step back and go, okay, well, I like these salty, crunchy things, and I like these sweet, cool things, creamy things. Let me have a look around. You know, and it's so exciting to get curious about stuff instead of, you know, feeling deprived. So that's great that you found.
Very much so.
Well, do you know the name, just in case somebody's curious about the ice cream, what that brand name is? Or
it's the market, Target's.
Oh, it's a Target
brand. Is the market?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh,
it's cool. Just, I believe it's just called Market.
Right, that's right. That is their brand. Okay.
And it's a mini ice cream sandwich, but it's only 100 calories, and it's yummy.
I know, and sometimes what I've found, and even cognitive behavioral research has shown, that having that yummy little thing at the end of the day just makes all the difference, or having it somewhere in your day just makes all the difference in your attitude and your willingness to be consistent, because you're not, like you said, it's not just raw vegetables and chicken or fish. It's, you know, it's you're showing, you're meeting yourself where you're at and saying, okay, I'm willing to do, you know, I'm willing to eat less calories, I'm willing to do this, but, you know, I want to live my life in here. I want to be able to not feel like I'm in this prison.
Yeah, and I enjoy a beer when I get home, but those mm-hmm. silly things are 165 calories. Well,
right.
There's beers out there that taste okay, and there's 63.
Okay, yeah.
So, yeah, and I did a lot of looking and made choices that allowed me to do that, to still have everything I enjoyed. And, I mean, I did go to smaller quantities.
Mm-hmm.
And I was surprised at, you know, how much a plate of pasta, the calories are in a plate of pasta.
Right.
It's just incredible.
Yeah. And so,
I don't eat half as much pasta as I used to.
Yeah, it's funny, and you know, I think it can be just as enjoyable to have some pasta with other things like vegetables.
Yes,
the sauce
yes.
on top, and you don't,
yes.
you know, you just it doesn't occur to you when you're just eating pasta, but when you're thinking, yeah, how do I take this 800 calorie plate of stuff and make it 200 calories or less.
And when you're not looking at the labels and not looking at the calorie count, you know, you say, well, so I'm having a bowl of pasta, how much could the sauce, you know, how many calories could the sauce be?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you think that you're actually doing okay by just having, you know, pasta and Prego, and really
right.
you're down in 800 calories.
Yeah, and
because
a lot of carbohydrates, which are, you know, spiking
right.
your blood sugar and making you hungry the next day.
Right.
What now, you know, and because it's been, April, May, June, July, August, September, October, so it's been a little over 6 months, right,
mm-hmm.
that you've
yes.
been shifting. And releasing weight, and now you're in maintenance. And what would advice would you give somebody who's just starting out or thinking of doing this work? Regards to the hypnosis, what do you recommend for people? Like, what do you think has been the most helpful for you with the hypnosis? What do you feel has been the most helpful for you as other tools, you know, going through 6 months and then maintaining? What advice?
It's coming. I do I still listen to the hypnosis CD about once a week.
Okay.
I think that it just helps to enforce.
And that's the main one that you got when you did the shift, or do you listen to specific ones? Okay.
No, yeah, I just listen. That's the only one I listen to.
Okay.
And it, you know, it goes over all the stuff. And mostly what I enjoy about it is it takes me to my shift place. So I can, you know, there's a lot of powerful things you can do there.
Yeah. So for people who don't know what your shift place is, that's when we do the hypnosis, that's this place that you create in your unconscious mind. That's your place of shifting. That's your place of possibility. So, and we go in there often during the shift day. And like what you're saying is in the shift CD, it takes you there. And so it's a great place to problem solve and just to create a vision of where you want to go. Because so often when we struggle, we kind of paint ourselves into a box where it's not possible and we can't do it and it's hard and we shouldn't and blah, blah, blah. And so I feel like the shift place really allows you to open up and really engage your real power, your inner power. So I'm glad you're using that once a week to stay engaged. What about exercise? Because I know you're back on a set now. And we were chatting a little bit before we started this interview. I know you're getting a lot of exercise now on set because you're walking around. So how are you managing craft services and all that stuff being on the set? Because like I said, there are quite a few people who deal with Hollywood sets as well in the shift community.
Right now I'm doing, I work construction, so right now we're doing all of the pre-construction,
so there's no
craft service to be had.
Oh, well, that's good.
When the last show that I did, craft service was right there, readily available, and I walked through it actually a couple of times a day to see if by chance they put out anything that would be actually worth the calories. And I remember, and very seldom did they.
Interesting.
I remember sending you a couple of notes, a note a couple of times saying that I thought perhaps the cream-filled wafer cookies would be worth it, but they really weren't.
Yeah, I remember those.
Because I did log everything, you know. I remember there was a time I sent you that I had a chip binge, and instead of one helping of chips, I had five, but I measured them and I weighed them and I logged
amazing.
Them. And once again, not worth it.
Yeah.
So, you know, I would go through there. I would look often, and one time there was a brownie. The brownie was worth it. But
sometimes they're worth it.
Sometimes they are, but there wasn't anything that very often when I stood there and actually thought about the price in calories or the price in the blood sugar swing or, you know, or where my mind was at the moment that made me think I needed a munchie.
Right.
Oh, it just left me. Taking the shift breath and doing Grazeless. I'm sorry, I have listened to Grazeless a couple of times. The CD.
The Grazeless CD. That's for Grazeless people who don't know it. It's like it's kind of a mindless eating CD. It gets into that.
Right. Which is exactly what the craft service table is.
Yeah.
So. You know, a couple of fingers together, a deep breath, and saying, my word was Grazeless, and it just kind of takes you out and reminds you that you don't really need to pick something up even though you're standing in the room.
Cool.
So the craft service table really has not been a challenge because my thinking has shifted
mm-hmm.
to whether or not it's worth it in the calories.
Right, right. That's great. Yeah, so you've repositioned everything, and you're looking at everything
yeah.
through a different filter, which just gives you more power. Tim,
right.
do you have any other, parting advice for anybody, I like what you're having to say, is to stay focused, to listen to the CDs, that you've changed your relationship with food. You haven't taken it away, but you've just are looking at it differently. So you, and for you, your relationship with yourself sounds more confident and competent. How about your relationship with you and your wife? I know you've always had a really wonderful relationship. You guys
uh-huh.
are, to me, from the outside looking in, I'm very supportive of each other. Has it been nice to be getting, because your wife was always healthy, so were you, getting healthy together? Was that a big shift for you guys, or was it just an add-on to what she was already doing? Or
The only real thing that came up through all of this, she always has counted calories to an extent.
Mm-hmm.
I don't believe that M&Ms actually have calories in the world, but most everything else does.
Okay.
And she's not crazy, she's not crazy, and she just kind of does it to have an idea.
Right.
But when I first started, because I was more goal-oriented and there was more science and reason behind what I was doing, she was kind of nervous to cook because, of
right.
what she thought my demands on food were, food's demands on me,
mm-hmm.
whatever it was. And so, it took a couple of times of us counting. I said, hon, you can cook whatever it is, and I just weigh the chicken and measure the veggies and
mm-hmm.
and whatever the starch is for the night, and we're good.
Mm-hmm.
So there was a weird nervousness in her when it all first started, but
right.
We got over that.
Oh, cool.
And we do all of our the shopping together and stuff now.
That's
and
nice.
There are a few things that she'll eat, that she eats different than me.
Mm-hmm.
But for the most, it's all lunch stuff.
Right.
Basically, our dinner stuff is all the same.
That's
great. And we've discovered some great stuff. Couscous is really neat. And
oh, cool.
There's all these things we've tried since, I'm not trying to stuff down 15 pounds of mashed potatoes and as much tri-tip as I can fit on my plate anymore.
You've become a little more adventurous.
Yeah.
That's great.
So.
Well, thank you so much for your time, Tim. Is there anything else that you feel like we haven't covered that you wanted to share with our listening audience?
The main thing is... I've been to two shift sessions now because I helped on the last one.
Yeah,
and then,
you came and coached.
Yes, and then I'm still in contact with my uncle who did the shift with me, who looks at the whole thing a tad different than me. See, yeah, look how nice I'm being. But one of the things I got from both of those was that, especially now at the internet, and I would imagine very few people that you see and that I've known have gone through the program, this is the first time that they're
mm-hmm.
trying to release weight.
Mm-hmm.
And people try to morph and take what they know or what they think they know and add all this weird stuff into their shift. And I think that it hurts as much as anything else.
Mm-hmm.
And, my one piece of advice would be to embrace this and embrace the science of this and kind of let the rest of it go and give it a 30-day shot. And I think that if people do that, then they would hold on tight till the end.
Right. And I appreciate that. I think that's good advice. I think that a lot of times it's hard to let go of what you think has helped you in the past. And I don't get that what you're saying, and this is certainly not what I'm saying. I'm not saying, like, you know, we all bring with us some things that have worked for us in the past. You know, like,
yes,
some people have found breakfast that work for them or a way of exercising that works. And I'm not saying let go of that, but I think what you're saying and what I'm getting from what you're saying is that the principles of the shift are really based in facts and not just the science of weight loss, but cognitive weight release facts and environmental facts that are taken from, I think, just a body of research that can't be ignored. And so just those principles and those skills, it's a skill set. It really just is a skill set. And I think we want to, like what you're saying, is bend it and make it into something more romantic, more bigger than what it is. I mean, and that is enough. I mean, it's the fact that it's this amazing skill set, and then it's a way of thinking and engaging your fabulous mind, which is enough. I mean, it's a huge thing, but I think we want to bring the emotion in, and we want to bring in the pain or the you know, all these other things, and when you let those things go and you enter in through this, like what you said, sort of like filtering it differently in this more powerful way, then it's almost like a surrender to what you know works, and it works.
Right.
So were you going to say something?
No.
Oh, okay. I thought you were. I didn't want to interrupt you again. Okay. Well, Tim, I want to thank you so much, and I want to congratulate you on your amazing weight release, of course. That's fantastic. But just the journey that you've been on and how you've really, really learned to show up for yourself and all your creativity and finding all these different ways of feeding yourself and living your life within your body's energy needs. And how long have you been maintaining now for? It's been a few weeks or about a month?
Yeah, it's been about 4 weeks.
Okay. And how are you feeling? You feeling good, feeling strong?
Absolutely. Last week I ran a half marathon.
Oh, that's right. Oh, my gosh. How could we not have mentioned your half marathon, which is fantastic. And that's something you've never done, right?
No, I never.
And how was that? Was that? I know you had told me you felt a little sore at the end of the day, but...
all in all, it was just a terrific experience. There's, you know, even with your iPod plugged into your head, there's not really much to think, you know, not much to do but think and push on, and it was... It was just a really, really good day.
Did you, how long had you been training for then?
The training that I did was actually something I just got off the internet. It was a 12-week training, and it was made for people who hadn't run before to get to a half marathon in 12 weeks.
And is it an app or was it a site?
No, it was just a site that I found by doing a Google search.
Uh huh.
And there's hundreds of them out there, and I just picked one.
Oh well, cool. And so they just gave you a training schedule, and you kind of followed along with that.
Yeah, run 4 days a week and rest a couple and cross-train the others. And then because our evening walks had become so important to my wife and I, I would run in the morning, and then we would do our walks in the evening.
Right. Wow.
So
you were doing double duty there for a while. So are you going to continue, or are you going to do another half marathon?
Yes, there's one on the 22nd of March that I'm going to do, and my wife is going to run the 10K that day.
Oh, cool. That is
so
great. So has she been running, too, or is she planning to start running with you?
No, she she's in a training for a new job up in outside of Sacramento. So in the evening, she's going down to the gym in the hotel she's at. She's running on the treadmill.
That's cool.
So she's just started now.
Right. Well, so you're changing, and that's what I think is so great about this is, you know, one person makes this change, like you made this shift, and you're not just shifting yourself, but you're shifting a lot of people around you, even people you probably don't even know, or, you know, at least that you don't know that you're making a significant change.
Right.
'Cause I think when you make such a profound change in your life, people, they notice, and it means something. So thank you, Tim, for contributing to everybody who's listening to this call. I so appreciate all the wisdom that you've imparted here today. And I really admire and am inspired by your journey. It's really been a fantastic journey, and I'm excited about your continuing and seeing how everything goes.
Yes.
So thank you so much, and I'm going to end the recording now. Let's stay on, and thank you everybody for participating in the call.